Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Linda. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom. You trying to explain away that man purse sounds like what the Biden White House is doing, trying to explain away that debate. It's not working. We all know you're carrying a purse, so either accept it or get rid of it.
Well, I'm going to get the most masculine guy in the bar tomorrow. I don't know if that'll be Dan. Oh, my God. What
rivalry
kind of bar
is slowly
that?
Building. Between
I'm going to say that. Yeah.
This nude court debate between you two is going to be fantastic.
I'm going to get Johnny Z to rule on that tomorrow. Jeff Andrew, sartorially splendid. I'm going to ask him, is this a man purse?
First topic of the moot court debate. There you go.
There you go. Yep. That's number one. So, Linda, interested in your take, election laws, your main area of divorce, and, you know, general practitioner, I know that. The Biden thing of swapping him out, how does this play out, particularly in the swing states and the like? Is it as easy as they say it is, or each day that goes by, I would assume it gets more difficult?
Right. So, well, in May, when we voted, we actually voted for the delegates that are going to go to the convention. And then when the delegates get to the Democratic convention, they're going to elect the, their nominee. And we all voted for, there are people who voted for Biden delegates. That's who they would want to elect at the convention unless Biden steps out. So if he steps out, what we're going to see is fights to try to get those delegates to vote for an alternate candidate. So if it's people for Camilla, people for Newsom, whoever the names are. So there's going to be a lot of infighting about who those delegates are going to vote for. And whatever happens, you're going to have a lot of very disappointed people. So it's not necessarily as easy as everybody, you know, says it's going to be. It still can be done in Pennsylvania because we don't we wait until after the convention for them to notify the Pennsylvania Department of State about who should be on the ballot. So he can still get, or whoever the nominee is still can get on the ballot in Pennsylvania. I know that might be an issue in other states, but it's not as easy as just swapping out.
Okay, yeah, that's the point. And we've been looking at even the money transfer. At a certain point, who does that go to? And I think even some Democrats said Kamala Harris is on the ticket, at least would be through the convention as a VP. If nothing else, she would have access to that. It would probably go to the DNC, and then it gets dicey exactly what happened. So my point is not that they can't overcome this, but Republicans have to hold their feet to the fire to make sure they're following the law, because I'm not sure if you remember, Linda. I remember, and it was exactly what the Democrats do. Robert the Torch Torricelli got into trouble, senator in Jersey. 5 days before the election, they tagged him out and put Frank Lautenberg in, and he won.
Right, yeah, that happened in Jersey. And, you know, something similar happened in Philadelphia in one of the state house races where this was a few years ago, and I don't remember the guy's name, but
Dylan.
I sued to get him off the ballot because he didn't live in the district, and
okay.
He didn't, and I won in the Commonwealth Court. It was a district in West Philly, and the court ordered him off the ballot. And then the Dems tried to nominate somebody new to put on the ballot, but under Pennsylvania law, if you're off the ballot, if you're ordered off the ballot, there is no mechanism for replacement. So we were successful in not having anyone on the ballot for the Dems. Unfortunately, the Republicans still lost in that district because it's like a 90% Democratic district, and they had a write-in campaign. But that was an example of really trying to force them to follow the law.
Exactly. And I know you're on top of all of this. The other good news, NBC News wrote a big piece going wild, saying this is exactly what we don't want, this preoccupation of people like you and Lara Trump and others with who knows how many tens of thousands of poll watchers and custody watchers and all that. They're appalled by it. And Linda, our hurdle here, I guess, is we have suburbanites, as you know, that would go into these polling places in Philadelphia, I think. Other states allow it. Are we ever going to see that where you don't have to live in that city or in that municipality in order to poll watch?
If the Pennsylvania legislature gets its act together, but if they don't, then our law in Pennsylvania is that you have to be a registered voter in that county to be a poll watcher. And frankly, it's a little offensive that these outlets are acting like the Republicans are doing something wrong by recruiting poll watchers and poll workers. In fact, the Committee of 70 in their email yesterday came out and they said that that supporters of former President Donald Trump are preparing to challenge the November 5th presidential election should he lose again. And as outlined by the Washington Post, the Republican effort is multifaceted and includes such initiatives as encouraging people to be poll workers. How is encouraging someone to be a poll worker anything that should be called bad?
Let's take
Dan, part of our process.
Yeah, Dan, would you ask them to come on again? They're cowardly. I don't want to bring you into it, Linda, but, you know, I've often thought...
They're ridiculous, and they call themselves nonpartisan. They're ridiculous.
They are the most. They're fraudulent to me, not in the legal sense, but just in the public sense. That this has gone on for years, and they're brought on to every news show here in town, and they think your work here, which is laudatory, of getting all these people to be involved, what it takes, the nitty gritty of that, to sit in an election room 8 to 10 hours, whatever it is, Linda. Is amazing. They ought to be celebrating you.
But Pennsylvania law provides for it. Pennsylvania law is designed so that the poll workers and polling places come from two different parties. Now, it doesn't always work that way because sometimes Republicans don't step up to the plate. So we have tons of districts in our 1,700 polling places in Philly where it is run exclusively by Democrats. And we're making a concerted effort to make sure that because we have the right as a minority party to be in a polling place, to make sure we have people in those polling places. And that's to work in a polling place. And for poll watchers, the law is very clear. Candidates and parties are permitted to have a poll watcher in the polling place. So McCormick, Trump, the three row office candidates, we could have five poll watchers in a polling place. Now, we're not going to have enough manpower for that, but that's provided for in the law. So to act like that's something that we shouldn't be doing, they're telling us that we shouldn't follow the law, it's ridiculous. And it's just another way to just denigrate what are just election integrity efforts.
Yeah, and look, anybody should be allowed, it's your civic duty to challenge an election or parts of it or something you see so that everyone's on their toes and we reform it because God knows some of the things that were put in, like Zuckerbucks. We shouldn't have challenged that. We shouldn't have tried to take that out. Does the Committee of 70 really think that? No, there are a bunch of people that are in a little bubble. It's a kind of a uniparty, although mainly Democrats. And I've just never seen why we should have faith in them as any kind of watchdog. So, Linda, a couple of things. One, you told us that leftist interest groups in Washington County, PA, are trying to force the county to cure ballots, meaning telling you can come in and correct them. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, they're not. So this lawsuit, I think, was just filed yesterday. And what they're asking the court to do is to compel the county to tell voters about the status of their ballot, provide voters with accurate and timely information regarding any errors they make, and then what they're calling properly entering the ballot in the SURE system so that if the ballot is rejected, if the person shows up on election day, they can vote by provisional ballot. Now, a big problem with that lawsuit is they're shifting the burden. So the burden is no longer on the voter to fill it out correctly. It's on the election officials to not only check and make sure it's filled out correctly, but timely get back to them before election day. That's not that easy. The county officials do not have email addresses and phone numbers for all of these voters, so I'm not even sure how they would contact everyone. In addition, what is really getting lost in this whole argument over the curing is that the election code says, and I quote, now I'm not reading off a teleprompter like Biden did. I mean, I'm actually saying, I quote, shall safely keep the ballots in sealed or locked containers until they are to be canvassed by the county board of elections. So upon receipt of the ballot, election counties are supposed to be putting these ballots in containers. There's nothing in the election code about checking them, correcting them, calling voters. That's something that these counties have just decided to do. And because the language is a little bit ambiguous, the courts have let them do it. So now this group out in Washington County is now asking for the counties to have that duty to contact the voters. That's a big shift in burden on those counties. And not every county has the manpower to do that. And I think it's going to create a lot of problems. But I think what the goal is to work through the counties and maybe get this up through the appellate courts.
Yeah, well,
right now,
right.
Not every county cures.
The way I see it is the burden is on you. If you want to go mail in, which we support, then you have to be careful about this. That's your burden. The burden on others is to show up on election day and maybe wait in a long line. So, you know,
right.
Nobody can do that work for you if you want to go that way. The other thing is this situation, this directive directing counties to pre-print the year on ballots in November. What's the issue there?
Right. Well, I mean, I predicted that was coming because in the primary, they pre-printed the 20 of 2024 and just asked the voters to fill in the 20 part. But people were still getting it wrong. So now they're telling counties to pre-
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Reprint the entire year so that when you fill out date and sign your ballot, that you just have to write the month and the day. Now, I think that's a stretch for the Department of State, especially because when the legislature wrote the law, the legislature said that the voter must fill out date and sign. And I think there is something to be said for that type of routine, to fill out date and sign your ballot, because it shows that you're putting thought into it. It's you signing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's you dating it. I think that there's a lot of value to that. Secretary Schmidt obviously thinks otherwise. These Democrats obviously think otherwise because they're constantly trying to water down all of these requirements to basically take away these requirements, I guess, to reduce the amount of what they're calling mistakes. And I think it's a problem. And if not every county follows these directives on their envelopes, then we're going to have even more, you know, non-uniformity throughout the state.
Exactly. Linda, too, a big event we talked to you about with Lara Trump and then the head of the RNC, the other co-chair here in Philadelphia. So tell us again, if you still need people for anything, what they do, and where are we approximately? How do you feel about our suburban areas in Philadelphia?
I need thousands of people. So I need all of your listeners to go to protectthevote.com. So what we're doing is we're gathering all the names, and then we contact people and let them know how they can do a training. And we're offering multiple trainings a week by Zoom so people can get really familiar with the process. So I need people who are willing to go to polling places on election day from polls open at 7, they close at 8, but we do want you there at 6:30 a.m. By the way, I now know Dan, producer Dan, has the stamina, because wasn't he on the radio yesterday for 8 straight hours?
Oh, come on. Wait a minute. Let's clear that up. He's in the producer's lounge here. Have you ever been here and seen the producer's lounge?
You know what,
Elena,
this gives me a good opportunity, because I've heard that a lot these past day, and it actually, a lot comes from Dom, the work ethic, because you have the true Iron Man of radio sitting across the glass from me, who does what I did yesterday on a regular basis. So don't mean to kiss your butt, Dom, but I just want to put that out there.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Thanks for conspiring to bring that up.
So I need people in the polling places. We need people to be at the centers to watch the counting. Again, the election code allows each candidate and the parties to have someone in there. So we have a lot of statewide candidates. We have president, we have McCormick and the Senate candidate, we have the three row offices, and then in every county there's other candidates on the ballot. So I have the ability to have watchers in there for each of those candidates watching the count. And transparency is so important. And if someone's in there watching, we can hopefully be sure that there won't be any shenanigans. I mean, transparency is just the best medicine for what is a really sacred event, a vote, an election. So this is so important, and I need people. I'm reluctant to kind of say exactly how many I have, because I don't want
the other side
to know.
Yeah. So where do you go again? What do you do?
Protectthevote.com. Protectthevote.com. You go, you sign up. We have people looking you up, making sure you're a registered voter, checking out where you're registered, and then we haven't started placing everybody yet, but what we start with is to get the training, and we have this great Zoom training, and we have multiple times during the week when you can sign on to it. I also need attorneys. Attorneys could either, the website for that is lawyers.protectthevote.com, or just sign up on regularprotectthevote.com and we'll find you.
Linda, thank you so much. And it's not a man purse. Thank you.
Have a great day, Dom.
Thank you. You're a witness. Come to Mulligan some more. I bring it. That's where I carry my stuff in. That's where all the good stuff is.
Really dug you a hole there.
We'll see that tomorrow. All right. So there's the update. There's the defensive coordinator hitting you with an update on what's happening here. How about this committee of 70? I love the stuffed shirt. I forget. Oh, Al Schmidt. Remember that guy?
Trump?
He was the former head of the committee of 70. Yeah, of course. Saying that they're planning to challenge this election. Right. It is going to be. I'd like to win and still challenge some of it. You know, we should have won by more. Oh, this guy, right? Yeah, I think there's one more vote out there, and I want a full federal investigation on that vote. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with encouraging people to be poll watchers? Oh, they're going to be causing trouble. I saw the CNBC article. They don't understand the values in a big city. They're coming from the country. Yeah, they may think there's cheating. That's what you mean. What's that box doing over there? You know, that kind of thing. Poll watchers in Atlanta, Detroit, and, of course, Philadelphia. All right, phone lines. You get in right now, 855-839-1210. Just hit us with that all-time photo. That's one of the things we're looking for. President Biden, without the tan today, pretty much. Speaking about severe weather as a hurricane strengthens. My God.
The name Beryl.
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 Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
No.
Neither have I. Is that like the third brother between Daryl and Merrill from Walking Dead?
Or is it one of those unisex names?
Ah, it's a good one. Yeah.
You know, we might have to do all-time unisex names. Like if you say it, you shorten it, like Sam. Could that be a woman? Yeah, Samantha. You know?
Yeah.
And they...
Dan.
Dan.
Yeah. Dom. Yeah.
Dominique, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to think of a unisex name where you don't know. Beryl strikes me as one of those.
Beryl.
Leslie. Leslie used to be a name that males had.
Stacey.
There were a lot of Leslies.
Yeah.
Stacy was a male name?
Yeah, you know where...
That's right, yes, yeah. S-T-A-C-E-Y. Why?
Yeah. Or like the surfer, I forget his name, Stacy.
Stacy Keach.
Here's another one, I got one for you.
Okay.
I didn't ask for this.
Yeah, there you go.
Lindsay, but he's the only one I know.
Oh, God. So the Biden people are actually saying they're going to put him out there in front of journalists. Let's do an hour interview and all. You know, these people are just thinking they'll run past the obvious by saying, well, that will reassure people. In what universe is he going to get through a half hour of one of those interviews? I mean, it is difficult. I remember I ended up on the cutting room floor. They had me for 90 minutes Sunday morning show. And at any second, you feel like they're bringing in something you hadn't thought about. What's he going to do? Given what we've already seen. Yeah, he can go out there and a crowd cheering him, read off a teleprompter, and it's horrible. But in addition to that, when anybody asked him a question and any kind of follow-up, he can't do it on what day it is. So how in the world do they think they'll get past it? Lloyd Doggett is the first Democrat on record, congressman from Texas. Now, he's done stuff vaguely like this before. The guy I'd like to interview on this is Hank Johnson about what Biden should do. Don't go to Guam. You'll tip it over.
Oh, don't do that.
That guy. But this is perfect.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
That actually happened last night, Dom. That wasn't about Guam. He was talking about Wildwood and the Mulligans event tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. It's going to be big. Yeah, get there early.
Island's
going to
capsize so many
people. Yeah, and hang on. And Mulligans might capsize tomorrow. God knows. But this is perfect. Biden is hanging on for now. I don't think there's any doubt. I don't see him, as I've said all along. And he might survive to the end. But meanwhile, you're seeing the chip, chip, chip. And behind the scenes, there are seven people now, Dan, they're saying are on the short list of contenders. Oh, my God, some of these. Pritzker. You ever seen that guy, the governor of Illinois? Oh, my God. He's just married into a family of the hotel chain or something. He's a billionaire by that. Bashar. You have to get Rand Paul on to talk about him. He's the governor of Kentucky. Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris, Newsom. And guess who just entered last night? They're saying, oh, yeah, Mayor Pete.
Oh.
Not Mayor Pete Byron, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, I got excited.
That Mayor Pete.
Oh, okay.
Can you picture that guy? Oh, my God. The debacles that he's been involved in at the U.S. transportation thing.
Yeah.
Not only that. If there were debates, you know, not that appearance is everything, but look, people, they look at it. Look at Biden's appearance in the debate. I think Mayor Pete's like 5'6", if that, you know, he looks at.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, it's not a good look in a debate to be standing there in 5'8". That matter. 5'8"? Yeah, I kind of doubt it.
Bernie Sanders is not 6 foot tall.
He looks it.
Really?
I
think so? I
only saw him once from afar,
what?
And I think he looks it. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Is he on the short list?
No, not Bernie Sanders here. Now, Bernie would give them something. Hillary not on the short list.
So out of that list, is there anyone that you do think gives them something?
No, Newsom is probably the best pick for
them. Not Shapiro?
Not Shapiro. Well, you know what? The media would play along for a while. The Wall Street Journal today must think he is potential because they really unmask him and saying, stop calling this guy a moderate. They have a good sense.
Can I just ask about the elephant in the room, though?
Yeah.
The party has grown, at least the sect of the party, somewhat anti-Semitic. I mean, they're pro-Palestine, and you have a Jewish individual here.
Yeah.
Would that deter people away from the polls? Would that deter progressives away because they can't vote for a Jewish
guy? They're stone-cold anti-Semitic. Yes, big time, up and down the line. They have grown more of that.
Do you think the DNC is laying that into their decision, and isn't that wrong?
Yes. Oh, of course. The AOCs and that whole quack of the party. Oh, my God, Tlaib and others. Now, he might be able to turn it to his advantage, but yes, they are anti-Semitic. My gripe with Josh Shapiro, he's not a moderate. There is no doubt about that, but he masquerades well. So, Dan, watch this play. I haven't heard anybody else say it. I don't know why. Is he going to go with the Republicans and getting school choice in Pennsylvania? Because that would really make national news and that would help him if they're unable, if they're able to unseat Biden here. I could see that. So, yeah, I would watch Shapiro, too. He's clever.
Make national news, but
smart.
It's a blow to his knees. I mean, the entire teachers union's going to not vote for the guy then.
Well, they would say he's a moderate, and that's what Democrats need now. I hear you. It's not an easy path, but I think Newsom has a lot of dirty laundry. Get it? French laundry.
I gotta say, so Reddit, which is super left,
yeah,
they are imploding. Like, comments, there's nothing being upvoted on the political right now because you have a sect saying that, you know, it needs to be Biden because he's the only person that can defeat Trump. But then the other side is suggesting people, and nobody thinks anybody can beat Trump besides Biden. So there's an implosion going on. It's fascinating and very entertaining to see, I must
say. Well, the bottom line is that's why Biden was the guy in 2020, because they know all the others cannot masquerade their radicalism. They put him on. He was a reassuring face. It's Uncle Joe, Joe being Joe. Now they see how bad his policies are, and they also see the decline. Well, I don't think the decline is that great with Biden. I've said it many times. He's always been a dunce. I mean, there's no doubt. Nancy Pelosi, the same thing. That doesn't mean all Democrats are. Hillary's smart. You know, whatever you think of her, she's smart. Obama, but not Biden and Pelosi. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. So it is news. The first sitting Democrat lawmaker calls upon Biden to exit. All right, Michael's got something on Beryl, but I'm not sure the spelling, Michael, you're going with. So, Michael, you say what? It's a Yiddish name? Michael, are you there?
Sorry, it's Jonathan, yeah, I just wanted to comment there. Yeah, Beryl is actually a Yiddish name, a traditional Yiddish name. I think it's like bear, you know, so it's like a little bear. So it's a masculine name.
Okay.
So not huge, so just, I don't know. But maybe still interesting mix between Merrill and Beryl. But
yeah, and you're saying already. B-E-R-Y-L.
Well, I mean, I guess in English it's been like B-E-R-E-L, but yeah. I'm sure there are variants with a Y and whatever.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification here. 855-839-1210.
Doing some research here, yeah. Beryl, B-E-R-E-L, is the spelling, how it's usually spelled with Yiddish. B-E-R-Y-L is a variant spelling of the Yiddish male name Beryl, but it's also a girl's name of Greek origin, meaning sea green jewel. Beryl being a jewel or green gem, allegedly.
But I understand with hurricanes, with stuff like that, you run out of names over the course of time. How many times can you say Hurricane Dan? I don't remember Hurricane Dom ever. But I may have missed it.
Hurricane Dominic. Cyclone Dominic.
All right.
January 27th, 2009.
Now, one other story to tell you about is, would Democrats actually do this? Boy, I think they might. And I would love it if they do, because this will really start the tension. Democrats are weighing an early Biden nomination, meaning not waiting to the convention, doing it online. A potential date for Biden's nomination is July 21st, when the Democratic Convention's Credentials Committee meets virtually. They would do it then, Dan. Do it virtually. And then what are you going to Chicago for? Well, the crime, the shootings, the muggings, the robberies, and all that. Yeah. He would go and have fun at the convention, but he would be the nominee. I pray that they do this, because this will intensify big time what's going on. All right, and why is the Pentagon on high alert status around the world? They may have been hearing something before, or it could be people sensing weakness also. 855-839-1210.
Give us some of Biden's thoughts on Beryl if you want to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah, you want that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Look, right now we're also tracking Hurricane Beryl, which is passing through the Caribbean. It's the earliest time ever a dangerous Category 5 hurricane has been recorded in American history. People impacted islands and communities are in our prayers, and we stand by to provide assistance to them. Look, extreme weather events drive home a point that I've been saying for so long. Ignoring climate change is deadly and dangerous and irresponsible.
Okay, then. The Trump platform on abortion, when you see it come out, is going to be short and sweet and not what these activists want. But Republicans put one of the people in charge, Ed Martin. Now, I've been at events with a guy, nice enough personally. He's the president of the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly. And he is, over the years, someone who said no exceptions, national ban on abortion. Put the woman who gets an abortion in jail also. Criminal penalties. And he's on the platform committee. So the media, the CNNs of the world and the others, gone to town today with a preview trying to switch the subject back to this. The genius of Trump is he's got his people. When we get right down to it, they're not going to allow anything like this. They're going to uproot the Republican platform on things like abortion. In other words, he's not going to give them ammunition. And guys like this from the Eagle Forum are exactly the people you don't want to be in charge of something like this. This is so winnable at this point. So what are they hanging on to? Well, internally, Democrats are hanging on to Biden because they realize even with all the difficulties, these others are marginal at best, their chance to win, particularly Harris. They're holding on to abortion. They're trying to use the immunity case to say Trump is going to come and kill me, or Biden could kill Trump today if he wanted to. Wild stuff, they're saying. We've seen the first Democrat that's elected in office, Doggett in Texas, say that Biden ought to step down. That just happened in the last hour or so. So you put all these things together, the last thing we want to do is give them any ammo on the issue of abortion or anything like that, okay? And Trump has put into play exactly what he's been enunciating about abortion. I mean, he's had some missteps over the last couple of years, but in the end, when they got to Iowa, Ron DeSantis is the one with the misstep. 6-week ban, woman wouldn't even know she's pregnant sometimes, the whole thing, that's not going to fly. And when he runs again, and DeSantis will, he's really going to have a Paul on the Road to Damascus turn on that, because he's never going to win if he goes down that path. Look at what Bob Casey's doing here in Pennsylvania against McCormick on the issue of life and saying some of the things McCormick has said. Here's a guy that's supposed to be Mr. Pro-Life among Democrats based on his father, going after McCormick because he's not extreme on abortion. This is the issue. This is what they're still going to play with. What else do they have to go with? You saw it during the debate. So they're pivoting now back to January 6th. They want to make this. They want to push it in with the immunity decision and say the Supreme Court, they're even pushing it in. Washington Post, big piece I was reading last night. How is it that we have a minority, meaning that Trump doesn't have the majority of Americans on his side? All he has is the Supreme Court and winning certain states, and he got over the finish line. That minority rule is running the country. Well, we've been through this how many times? This is not a country decided by the popular vote. The compromise was to give even the small states, the rural states, some say in our elections. And that's where the Electoral College comes in. It's genius. So the whole thing they're going with here is somehow or another, if Trump becomes president, it's not fair. It's an abuse of the system. And these Supreme Court justices are doing it. So they'll run on the Supreme Court again. That's where we go. That's why Republicans have to win the battle on exactly what the presidential immunity means. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. Two Hope Mulligans is in your plan tomorrow, 310 West Hildreth. It's going to be a lot of fun with Jeff Van Drew, but also on a serious note, Jeff Van Drew is a great pipeline to President Trump. We'll talk with him about that and how he sees the convention and things of that nature coming up. And we have a scotch tasting with him, too. And we have the candidate for Senate there, Curtis Bradshaw, will be in the House. And he's got a winnable race against Andy Kim, who is another guy masquerading as a moderate. So Biden is going to meet with these Democrat governors to what? reassure them, take their pulse to say they did. I don't see any of them. Like a Josh Shapiro and these others, they're not going to jump out there. This guy Doggett is going to pay a political price for this. The thing to watch for is now, does somebody else jump out there today that's an elected official? All right, would they jump out and you start to see a snowball? This is a slow-moving thing. Biden's under fire, but it looks like he's going to survive till the election, or at least for a pretty good time. You couldn't ask for a better scenario. And Biden's still the guy that you want to run against. Any of these others are definitely beatable. But this is something you can't unwatch. There is no escaping it. All right. And Dr. Jill Biden on the cover of Vogue and some of her comments about she feels your pain when it comes to grocery shopping and all. Yeah, right.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.